Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, combining running and beer.
When I moved to Toronto, I was able to join some running crews and meet, people who had a very similar mindset to me in running, and that, running doesn't have to be super serious. It can be fun. You can race. You can, have goals. You can set yourself up, to hit any milestones that you want to hit within a given year. But you can do it, surrounded by friends on any given night of the week.
Streaking through January.
We all come around to after the holidays in December and think, what can we do? What should we get out there and do to be better or keep running? Or what's going to make me keep getting out there every day? And this run streak has done that for so many people. When I read the posts, it's really amazing because there are people out there that this is their first time running outside in the winter.
And a runner inspires her daughters.
I was never, an athletic kid. I always felt like I was a little bit of an awkward, awkward kid kind of growing up. And so I never really added play team sports, as I mentioned. And my daughters certainly, I wanted to show them that it doesn't really matter the age that you're at or how old you are, what your abilities are, but to just, kind of get out there and have fun at whatever activity that you're doing.
All of that and more coming up on this week's edition of iRun Radio. We're joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
How's your week been?
Yeah, everything is great. Feeling good and strong.
You've been running outside a lot, even though it's been cold in Toronto, right?
Yeah, I have. I actually, I dress for it. And actually, I overdress for it. So it's been cold in Toronto, but I've actually been really working up a sweat on my runs, and I've been fine. I mean, the major thing for me was just having to realize that no running glove is really going to do the trick. So I sort of wear my ski gloves, those like big Canadian Tire things that you
right
wear
on
the slopes, and I wear those, and with all my thermal underwear and everything else, and I'm good to go.
Good stuff. There's a group of runners here in Ottawa who have been running every single day in January. We're going to talk to one of them on the show coming up a little bit later. And they call it the Run Ottawa Run Streak, and they're running at least 1 mile or 1.6 kilometers every day. Of course, sometimes they go longer than that, but that's the threshold. And that way, I like that. I like that low threshold because it means if you're on a training program and you do a really hard run one day, you might want the next day to be kind of a rest day. You don't necessarily want to go out and do 5 miles or 10K or something like that. You might want to keep it a little more manageable than that. So you can go out and run 2K, 3K, whatever, and it's totally fine to keep this streak going. But it's all about starting the new year off strong and having something to focus on in the month of January to get you through the blahs. And, it's easy to be focused on, okay, well, I'm training for a spring 10K or half marathon, but that's off in the distance. This is the here and now. So if you get through January and you feel like, I ran every day in January, then you've conquered the elements, you've started the year off strong. I really like this idea.
Yeah, and then February is short. And then, I know for us, here we have the chilly half, and I think that's the first Sunday in March. So it's like, you make it through January, February is a short month, you have Valentine's Day in the middle, and next thing you know, we may actually make it till spring.
Yeah. Now, you're from New York, of course. How have you adapted to our Canadian winters? Are you used to them now?
It starts, especially up here, it's been cold, but it's also been sort of sunny. It starts getting depressing for me when it's just, day after day after day of kind of the gray, drear. But basically now I haven't really had any problem with my only real problem with the winters is just taking the snow pants on and off the kids every day, trying not to lose a mitten.
Yeah.
Everything else I don't really have a problem with.
Takes a lot longer to get the kids ready for school and ready to come home at the end of the day than it does in the spring and fall, right?
I think I'd be a happier parent in Malibu, California.
Yeah, wouldn't we all? we're also going to talk to Tage from Run to Beer. He's going to be joining us coming up. And great guy, one of the founders of Run to Beer in Toronto. He's now in Hamilton and starting a group there. And it's amazing how that group has grown. I think they have more than 4,000 members now.
Yeah, and hopefully we're going to have an announcement in the near in the very near future about a collaboration that we're working on with him and his Hamilton group. So he's just a great guy. Be nice to him.
Yeah, okay, I will. And the Run to Beer event, for those people who don't know, the Run to Beer group is basically they get together once a week. They do a run in a different part of Toronto, and they gather afterwards at a pub, at a microbrewery, and they sample the beer. Right? That's as simple as that.
Yeah, and it's they're really in cahoots with all sorts of. I know they do a thing with the Scotiabank race in October, and I know you know the beer combination with the running. I really like with the microbrews and the craft beers, and I know in Ottawa the Bose beer is in cahoots
yep.
with the Ottawa race weekend, and you get a ticket, you get a Bose. And the CEO ran the half, and his sister's a big runner, so you know anything that we can do to bring more people under the tent.
All right, and we're also going to talk on this week's show to Anna Lee Boschetto, who's a member of the iRun team, of course, and we were talking about her last week about how she uses running as her thinking time, her deciding time, and it's had a huge impact on her life as she's been through a series of changes, and she's going to share that with us coming up on the show today. Ben, I hope you have a great week. Look forward to chatting with you again next week.
Thank you very much, my friend. All the best to you.
That's Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager, the author of Feet Don't Fail Me Now. Coming up next, we're going to talk to one of the founders of Run to Beer. We'll be right back. Discover the Pentathlon des Neiges, presented by MEC, the world's biggest winter multisport with 6,000 participants on the historical Plains of Abraham. It's also for you. Visit pentathlondesneiges.com. Welcome back to iRun Radio. iRun Radio is on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa, and you can also listen to the podcast. You can check out past editions of the show. Go to irun.ca and click on radio. Our first guest this week is Tage Jordan Sandhu, who's one of the founders of Run to Beer in Toronto. Tage, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, Mark.
We're going to talk about Run to Beer in a moment, but let's talk about you a little bit first. How did running become a thing for you? What's your story?
So I started running in university. I played sports kind of my whole life growing up as a kid, competitively in a few areas as well, but always suffered from asthma. Asthma was kind of always a deterrent for me in making sports kind of a larger part of my life, I guess. And as I kind of went through university, some of the natural weight gain, the frosh 15 or the freshman 15 happened, and that kind of spiraled out. And I kind of wasn't living as healthy as I wanted to at a certain point. And coming into the fourth year of university, I kind of had this moment where I kind of figured out that I needed to do something to get my health back in track. And luckily, I was living with my best friend, Matt, and he's always been super active. He was on the rowing team there, and has always kind of been a good model for, you know, balancing in a healthy life within kind of regular everyday life as well. And Matt suggested that I try running, which I thought was a little funny given the fact that, you know, I had asthma, and that was something that I've always seen as a deterrent to running. You know, one of the biggest asthma attacks I've ever had was doing the mile run in school growing up in Chicago, and that was, you know, kind of always something that made me fearful of running, I guess. But I said I'd go for it. I decided to give it a chance, and we got up one morning, went to the track at McMaster, and I did a lap, a single lap, and that was honestly it for the day. My lungs were burning a little bit. I probably went a little bit faster than I should have, which by, you know, I definitely, you know, my own kind of speed now wasn't that fast at all, but it would definitely push myself. And, you know, I felt, you know, a little self-conscious about the effort and kind of what I could do at the time. But he was very supportive and, you know, said, cool, no problem. Like, let's come back tomorrow and we'll do another lap. And so we did that. And, you know, the next day did another lap, eventually kind of got to doing a lap and a half, two laps, et cetera. And really just, you know, having him push me to, you know, be persistent and to approach it slowly and to, you know, not take any run as a failure and to, you know, use every, you know, 100 feet that I could gain on the last run as a marker for success was really neat. And it was kind of something I never really thought about running. And it was kind of cool to see how you can really track your success that easily, you know, whether it's with time or whether it's with distance. You know,
yeah, it's very measurable, right?
Totally, it's very measurable, and seeing that small improvement is such a encouraging thing and such a motivating thing, because, you know, you get up the next day and you said, okay, you know, I did 3 kilometers yesterday for the first time, and it took me 15 minutes, or probably back then it probably took me 23 minutes. You know, I'm going to see if I can do 3 kilometers in 22 minutes today, or whatever it is. And so it was kind of neat to kind of continue to build every day a little bit of running into my life that could make a difference over time, and eventually it became something where, you know, I was running 5, 10 K very often, and I was getting faster with those times, and then running just kind of became a regular part of my life and something that, you know, helped manage not only, you know, physical health issues that I was battling with, but the mental health issues as well. And it was a pretty powerful thing, and I was, you know, like many people, kind of have that moment of getting hooked on running. That was definitely something that happened with me, for sure.
I find this story so interesting because, number one, you figured this out in fourth year university. It takes some people until their 30s or 40s to start thinking about trying to get in shape and using running as a way to do that. So good for you. And just the fact that you went out and ran one lap and then it was all incremental from there, that really is so powerful. That's the story of running. It's just one step at a time, literally, and adding a little bit each time you get out there, right?
Totally, yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty powerful thing when you're able to look at it that way and not as, you know, that run was good or that run was bad. That was kind of a big moment for me, was realizing that, never, you know, no run is a bad run. It's running.
And where has running taken you since then? What kinds of things have you done with it?
Oh, it's opened up a lot of doors and kind of led to a few really neat things that become a big part of my life now. Running, you know, has led to a ton of friendships, which is always fantastic. The running crew scene in Toronto is so strong. So, you know, when I got when I moved to Toronto, I, you know, was able to join some running crews and meet, you know, people who had a very similar mindset to me in running, and that, you know, running doesn't have to be super serious. It can be fun. You can race. You can, you know, have goals. You can set yourself up, you know, to hit any milestones that you want to hit within a given year. But you can do it, you know, surrounded by friends on any given night of the week. And that idea of crew running was so neat. It was something that led to the start of Run to Beer. I met Dan Grant, who I founded Run to Beer with, through the beer industry in Toronto. And he kind of put it out there on Twitter one day, asking, hey, I'm going to be at the Trinity Bellwoods Gate at 6 p.m. on, I think it was a Sunday night. And I'm going to run 5K at Mill Street. Who wants to join me? I was the only person that showed up. Was the only person that showed up the second time, too, that he put out that message. And so together we kind of came up with the idea of what Run to Beer could be, and kind of blended that, you know, running crew, you know, kind of set up with the idea of how we can push people to explore different places in the city that they've never been to, different bars in the city that they've never been to, different breweries in the province that they've never tried and experienced, and kind of really took our passions for craft beer and for exploring and our passion for running, and kind of put them together into what is now Run to Beer 3.5 years later, is, you know, the largest running crew in Canada. We've got, I think, over 4,500 members now.
4,500 members. Wow.
Yeah, we've got 4,500 members. We run every week. The runs generally have, you know, depending on the capacity of the venue, we have to cap our runs differently. But we've had runs up to 200 people coming out. And it's really created this really neat community of people who, you know, you've got Boston Marathon qualifiers. You've got people who are coming up for the first run. Or you've got people who have been in, you know, Toronto their entire lives. You've got people, you've literally had people say, like, it's my third day in Toronto. I thought this was a cool way to meet people. You know, we have such an interesting and diverse range of people, and we've seen so many friendships form. We've literally seen relationships and marriages form now over the course of actually almost 4 years now. So it's been a pretty powerful thing to see how Run to Beer's evolved and what it's turned into.
It's very impressive. And tell me what you feel when you see a group of 200 runners heading out and then coming back and having a drink together and sharing the experience.
It's really inspiring. I think it's one of the things that we always talk about at Run to Beer. And one of the things that I'm always very vocal about with running is that it doesn't go back to that like who came first out of those 200 people, who came 200. Everyone waits outside. Everyone forms a high five tunnel before we go into the bar. Everyone gets a high five. It's become this community that is very inclusive, very accepting, there's no levels of, well, I'm this kind of run to be a runner, I'm this kind of run to be a level. Everyone is there to enjoy, the same things, and that's, it's the community, it's the experience of trying a new beer or being introduced to a new bar. It's exploring together, and it's really kind of brought this social element of running and beer together that it's been amazing to see every time. And it's something that it's honestly kind of turned into what we had dreamed of it being, and it's what's neat to see it continue to evolve.
Yeah, that's very cool. And where do you see taking it in the future? Obviously, the concept is great and it's working. Is there anything you want to add to it going forward?
Yeah, we've slowly evolved it over the course of the last almost 4 years now into. A few more kind of like interactive events where, education is definitely a component of what we want to bring to the Run to Beer experience. Then that's, running education, but it's also beer education as well. We're working a lot more closely with our running partners and our beer partners. So we work very closely with Canada Running Series. We work really closely with 20, 30, 40 breweries in the province to kind of really bring kind of specialized experiences to our members. And, kind of give them as much as possible out of what is a completely free experience every time that you come out for Run to Beer as well, which is always really neat.
And how about for you? What's on the horizon in terms of your own running? What are your plans?
Yeah, well, so I moved to Hamilton in May of last year to open a brewery here. And one of the things that I did when I moved to Hamilton was start another running crew because I'm not able to get back to Toronto very much anymore. Dan is very much leading the way on Run to Beer day-to-day these days, along with a great support network of kind of like crew leaders as well. My day-to-day isn't involved in Run to Beer right now because of the opening of the brewery. But also, I wanted to have a running crew and a community here that, in Hamilton that we could kind of have developed the same way. So, two Septembers ago, I started Lower City Runners. And Lower City Runners is my, kind of pet project here to, to do very much the same kind of things that we were doing in Toronto with Run to Beer and, in exploring the Lower City or the downtown core of Hamilton and introducing people to the new and exciting things that are happening in this city. Hamilton's got an amazing running history and an amazing running scene. A lot of it is, it's in the trails or on the waterfronts. We really wanted to bring people into that urban running scene here in Hamilton and to have people exploring, the really interesting things that are happening downtown in Hamilton.
Very cool.
And outside of that, it's having opened a brewery 8 months ago, running is, it's definitely something that has waned a little bit, honestly. It's something that, when you're working 80, 90, 100 hours a week.
You're running a business now, not running a marathon or a half marathon.
Totally. And, I've kind of, in the last couple months, been able to recommit to training again and working with a friend of mine, Cole, who is one of the folks that I founded Lower City Runners with, but also he's a running coach as well. And him and I have worked together to get me back on track to getting getting running to be a part of the weekly routine and daily routine. And so I'll be running my first race in 2 years now, or a year and a half now, at the Around the Bay this March.
Right on. Well, Tej, it sounds great. I mean, you've done so much to inspire people to run and bring them together and to share those moments. with each other. I think it's terrific. Congratulations on all you've done. Congratulations on the new business as well. And best of luck this year. Thank you very much for joining us on iRun Radio.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. And appreciate what you guys do to Bing running and, you know, bring an interesting side of running to so many people across the country as well. It's awesome to have some outlets like this to tell some interesting stories.
Right on. Well, thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mark.
That's Tage Jordan Sandu, one of the founders of Run to Beer. Coming up next, one of many runners who's braving the cold weather and running every single day in January. iRun Radio is brought to you by New Balance Canada, whose 806 V8, released this fall, is the perfect new road shoe whether your distance is the 5K or the marathon. The 806 V8 is fast, light, and comfortable. It's the perfect shoe for helping you reach a new PB. A group of runners in Ottawa is participating in the Run Ottawa Run Streak Challenge. They're running at least 1 mile or 1.6 kilometers every day in January. One of those runners is Vicky Benz. Vicky, thank you for joining us on iRun Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
How long have you been running?
It's coming up on about 8 years now.
And what got you started and where has running taken you?
I got started, a buddy of mine was at work and he thought that doing a Spartan race would be a good idea and invited me to come along. Showed me the videos online and I thought, wow, that's pretty impressive, but cool at the same time. So I said, yes, I'm in. And I hadn't been doing anything up until that point. And so I went to get a personal trainer, started running and training, and we did the Spartan race. So it was great.
And what was that experience like?
It was brutal, actually.
it's meant to be brutal in a way, isn't it? It's meant to be tough.
Yes, it is. It's not something, I've done it twice. It's not something I would do again just because running has absolutely become a passion of mine. And I just think there's so many chances for injury doing a Spartan race that I wouldn't want to jeopardize any of my upcoming races. But for those people out there that are into the obstacle racing, it's great.
Sure. And if that's what you're into and that's what you're focused on, terrific. But if you're focused on something else and you feel like that might get in the way of it, then you need to prioritize, right?
Yes, for sure. Everybody has their own thing, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
So what is your thing? What are you striving towards? What kinds of races have you been doing?
Well, I race a lot. Last year, I ran 11 half marathons, and this year, I'm going to run my first marathon, so I'm pretty excited about that.
And what marathon will that be?
I'm going to do Petit Train du Nord in Saint-Jérôme. Only because I heard really great things about it last year, and it was the first iteration of that run.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what, it's downhill elevation, which is pretty intriguing. So I thought, why not make that my first?
Very cool. And it's in the Mont-Tremblant area, and the first edition, as you said, was last year, and it's in October, I think, right?
Yes, towards the end of October. So it's a good time of year. It's, you know, not too hot. Sometimes, you know, like I was thinking about Ottawa Race Weekend, but that has become a bit unpredictable. I'm doing the half there, but for me to do my first marathon, I was a bit apprehensive, let's say.
Okay, and you did 11 half marathons last year.
Yeah.
Wow. Tell me about some of those experiences.
Well, I didn't originally intend on it in January 2017, but everything just started rolling, and I thought, you know what, I can totally do this. So I did the I2P run, Impossible to Possible, with Ray Zahab's runs, which are amazing. We do those in Lac Philippe towards the end of August. So I did that. That was 36K. That was definitely a highlight. I did Nine Run Run. I did Ottawa Race Weekend. That was my second time doing the half at Ottawa Race Weekend. And wow, I just did so many. I did the County Marathon, which I did the half there in Picton, Ontario.
That's supposed to be a very nice one.
It's great. It's my hometown, so I wanted to make sure I got there. And I'm thinking I might run the marathon there this year as well, although it's not slated in, and that would mean two marathons in 1 year instead of one. So I'm not sure. I'm a bit addicted to racing.
Yeah, apparently. It's interesting because some people, they like the race experience, but they're running all through the year, but they like to do maybe one in the spring, one in the fall. But it sounds like you were just doing race after race last year.
Pretty much. From the time August came around, I was doing a half marathon kind of every other week, which was kind of great.
Yeah. And what is it you like about the race experience?
I think the whole atmosphere is a real draw for people. I think it gives people motivation to keep training. For me, I won't show up to a race untrained. I don't really care, you know, where I place, but as long as I feel good about it when I'm running, then that's my motivation. And I just love listening to other runners talk about their race experiences or just even their training experiences. I think that it's motivating for me, but it's also motivating for so many other people.
And do you have a favorite from among all of the half marathons you did last year?
Oh, wow. I would have to say it was Ottawa Race Weekend because it was my second time doing it, and I know so many people in Ottawa, so I love to be able to see other people out on the race course that I know and be able to cheer them on.
All right, and this year you are participating in the Run Ottawa Run Streak, which means you've been running every day since the beginning of January, right?
Yes, even in those really cold days when nobody wants to go outside.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of us there are involved in it, but there's so many Run Ottawa members that are doing it, and it's just incredible. The rules are basically you run every day. You have to run at least 1 mile or 1.6K. It can be inside or outside. So it's good for the people on the treadmill that don't want to go outside, but then there's a whole crew of us that just keep going outside and pounding the pavement or the slushy
right.
sidewalks, I should say.
So you've been doing it outside every day?
Yes.
And do you normally, how often do you normally run?
I usually run like 4 or 5 days a week anyway. So to tag on the extra two is not so bad, especially when, you know, you only really have to do the minimum. If your body's feeling a bit taxed, then you can just do the minimum and you're still meeting the requirements of the run streak.
Right. And have you done that? Or do you get out there and you run a mile and you think, well, I'm out here anyway, I might as well keep going for a little bit?
I've actually not ever run the minimum yet. The least amount I ran was 2 kilometers, and that was yesterday after some fun tobogganing down the hill. But I think it's a good idea, especially as we approach the later half of the run streak, because this is when people start to get tired, and like we're reading the posts. Everybody's posting this online as well. So it's great because we get to see a lot of new people that are getting into running, or they've been afraid of getting outside and running in the winter. So it's really great to see so many people involved.
So you think it's motivated people to get outdoors and to run in January where otherwise they might wait a little bit and get started later?
Yes, I really think so. You know, we all come around to after the holidays in December and think, you know, whether we're runners or not, or you know, we're all thinking, what can we do? What should we get out there and do to, you know, be better or keep running, or what's going to make me keep getting out there every day? And this run streak has done that for so many people. When I read the posts, it's really amazing because there are people out there that this is their first time running outside in the winter. And we all talk about, you know, we give advice on what you should wear. I actually read your article about how to run in winter and, you know, the different things that you had to say. And I really agree with the biggest obstacle is what do you wear?
Yeah.
And
but once you get used to that, people do overdress for sure. Then and I see them all the time when it's, you know, when it's around zero and they're dressed like it's minus 20, and then they end up tying their jacket around their waist or something like that. But once you get used to that, it's very manageable, I find.
I completely agree. You know, before I started running outside or running at all, I really wasn't out in winter so much. But now that I'm running, I actually find that I get to enjoy the four seasons a lot more just because, like, you know, like you said, you dress for it, you go out, you enjoy it, light snow coming down, slush under your feet, whatever it is, you take on the day and you just kind of enjoy it.
And do you not feel as well like you're battling the elements, you're conquering winter instead of succumbing to it and giving in to it?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of great. We bunch of us ran the Richmond Road Race on Sunday, and the sun was shining. It was, I think it was minus 27. There was no wind, but we were all out there. And just to be able to tell your families and post it online that you were out there running in that, people just think it's the greatest thing ever. So, yes, you do feel a bit like a warrior out there in the cold weather.
Yeah, and the thing I like about this streak, too, or any other goal or challenge that gets set up for January, is it's a nice short-term objective. It's, you know, you can be focused right now and say, well, the reason I'm running is because I'm training for a spring event, but that seems like such a long way off, especially when it's minus 30. Having something like this as a short-term goal in January that's manageable, it's just for a few weeks, it's over at the end of January, but it gets you going early in the year, I think makes a lot of sense.
I think, yeah, I also think it's a great idea. I think there's so many people out there that think, okay, well, I'm going to run, let's take race weekend again for an example. I'm going to run race weekend, but that's not until the end of May. So I can still hold off and, you know, maybe I'll just cut back on my training, or it's cold outside, I won't get out. But this gives you that great kickstart into February run. The Winterman is coming up in February, and then there's the Hypo Half in March. All of these things. You know, maybe these people that are out there now running, they'll say, yeah, I can sign up for a winter race and I'm going to be just fine.
Were there any days that you felt like, I don't know if I can do it, or has it gone pretty smoothly for you?
Well, I'll be honest. There are those days when it's really cold and the wind is whipping up and you think, wow, should I do this? And I think, yeah, I have to, because I have to post this at the end of the day, and you're actually accountable to all those other people because we're watching each other and we're cheering each other on. And, you know, we're seeing, okay, did Amy post, or, you know, did Ann post, or Sue, or whoever the case may be. But yeah, and that's the motivation. It's so-and-so getting out there and saying, I ran. I didn't want to. I did the bare minimum, but I ran.
Yeah. And it gives you a little victory every day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. The small victories are great this time of year. Right, January's on. Tough.
Yeah. Well, Vicky, congratulations. Keep it going. Best of luck with the rest of January. And as you head into your racing this season, thanks for joining us on iRun Radio.
Great. Thanks very much, Mark.
That's Vicky Benz, one of many runners participating in Run Ottawa's Run Streak Challenge. Coming up next, how running has helped one runner cope with change and inspire her daughters. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Annalie Bochetto is a member of the iRun team and a frequent marathon and half marathon runner. She's with us today to share her story of how running has impacted her life and the lives of her daughters. Hi, Annalie. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark. This is a real treat.
And thanks for all you've done for iRun over the years and the many events that you've been at representing us. And let's go back to when this all started for you. How did you get into running?
Okay, well, my running journey has sort of been a bit of a stop-start, if you will. I was never an athlete as a kid. Growing up, that was sort of my brother's department, my younger brother. And probably late to mid-high school, actually, I kind of got into running and got into cross-country as sort of, a way to get an extra couple of extracurricular activities under my belt for university. And then I kind of, you know, stopped running pretty much until sort of my mid to late 20s. And I thought, you know, I was more of a gym goer and that kind of thing, and got back into it just as, you know, a way to kind of clear my mind and, you know, get out of during exams, kind of get out of the classroom and that kind of thing. And so running kind of really, I found, you know, sort of that getting back into doing a little bit of trail running and from my cross country days, I kind of, I enjoyed that, just kind of getting out there and not really having a time in mind or a distance or anything like that. It was just more the opportunity to kind of, you know, reconnect with nature, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Yeah. And then you ended up running
up from there.
you ran your first marathon 9 months after you had your first child. So
I did.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a bit of a goal for me. You know, I had, again, going back to, you know, getting back into running and into my 20s and 30s. And I kind of, you know, got into doing some racing prior to having my daughter. And I actually, I ran the Ottawa Half Marathon while I was, you know, several weeks pregnant, actually, with my daughter. And no one knew at the time. And I thought, you know, if I told her dad that I was pregnant, there was no way that I was going to be running that. So I was sort of the only one that knew. And I kind of laugh and think about it now. That, you know, before she was even born, she'd already run a half marathon.
Yeah. You'd run one together.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We've already done that. So, now, you know, certainly, you know, after pregnancy and having a baby, I thought, you know, what better way for me to kind of get back into a fitness routine than to have that goal race of running a marathon. And I thought, you know, hey, if I can, you know, if I can do that 9 months and, you know, give myself that, you know, she was born in January. So into the winter, coming into the spring, kind of give myself that goal of a fall race. That would be, you know, sort of the ultimate way to sort of wrap up a year maternity leave,
yeah,
if you will. So,
you had one 9 month journey followed by another 9 month journey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
and,
yeah, it was great.
And you have two kids now. Is that right?
I do. I have two girls, actually. Yes.
Yeah. And I know that part of the reason you run is to inspire them. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I think having daughters, you know, especially, and again, going back to the fact that I was never, you know, an athletic kid. I always felt like I was a little bit of an awkward, you know, awkward kid kind of growing up. And so I didn't play team sports, as I mentioned. And my daughters certainly, you know, I wanted to show them that it doesn't really matter the age that you're at or how old you are, or, you know, what your abilities are, but to just, you know, kind of get out there and have fun at whatever activity that you're doing. And the whole, you know, setting that sort of example from an early age, I mean, they always saw that, you know, I get up and I'm an early morning runner. And I do that because, as you know, Mark, having kids, you know, you want to kind of maximize the time that you spend with them, but kind of get in your own thing too. And for me, getting it in the pre-dawn hours always sort of worked, and it stuck for me. So they would, you know, see me coming, they would be waking up and seeing me coming home and kind of, you know, knew that I did that for me. And I think that's, you know, an important example for young girls to sort of see their mom getting out there and,
yeah,
you know, doing something specifically for herself in that sense. So,
yeah, and having,
yeah,
goals and achieving them. And I think that's great.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like I said, I think it's, you know, sometimes there's the perception that we hit a certain age and, you know, the idea of, you know, getting out there and having fun and, you know, being able to see their mom cross a finish line at a race. I think that's, you know, certainly that sets a tone for them to think that, you know, hey, years later that could be something that they're doing as well, too. Not just as a kid or a teen, but something, you know, the lifelong, running's a lifelong sport, right?
So. Yeah. So how many marathons have you done now?
You know, I think I'm probably up to about 9 or 10, to be honest.
Okay.
I don't really keep that great of track, to be honest.
Okay, that's all right.
But yeah,
I know you,
yeah,
went to Jerusalem, right, on behalf of the magazine?
Tel Aviv, actually.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, I did the half marathon at the Tel Aviv Marathon, which was an amazing experience. It was, you know, never thought that I would travel to the Middle East, and certainly never thought that I would be running a race in a city like that in Israel. But it was a wonderful, wonderful experience, and certainly a growing running community there. I mean, the support for the sport there was, yeah, it was phenomenal. I didn't know what to expect, but it certainly exceeded my expectations, that's for sure.
What was the experience like? Where were you running, and what was the scenery like, and the temperature and the atmosphere and all of that?
Well, it was in February, and they had actually backed up the race date because of the temperatures there. So it's late February, And we were running in, you know, the early morning. They put the race a little bit earlier into the morning. So it was about 6 a.m. And the temperatures at that point were about, it was about 20 degrees Celsius. And it went all the way up to, I crossed the finish line, and I think it was like 32 degrees Celsius, which, you know, to be running in a, you know, half marathon at that temperature, for me, I found it a little bit hot, but and certainly that dry sort of desert heat almost in a way. Although we were, the race route was just gorgeous. I mean, you had the Mediterranean, it's an out and back route, and you know, the Mediterranean, kind of, you were following the shoreline all along, and it was just a stunning view for sure.
And I understand from Ben, we were talking with Ben earlier about some of your experiences as a runner and what it's meant to you in your life. And I don't want to dig too deep into your personal life, but I know you've talked to him about how running has been a big part of when you've made some big decisions in your life, and it's been part of, you know, how you've maintained your sanity, I guess, a little bit through some changes in your world.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, on a personal level, I think that, you know, running does give you that opportunity, or for me anyways, the type of person that I am, I really, you know, need to sort of get out there and to be able to think through different decisions, and whether that's been career changes or, you know, sort of life personal changes, running has definitely given me that space and that opportunity to kind of, you know, step by step in a literal sense, but also in sort of a mental sense, be able to sort of, you know, guide me through in a way. And again, I go back to the fact that it's that time where I've, you know, been able to carve out that, you know, whether it's an hour or 2 hours, that time for me. And it's been that sort of, I think, stabilizing force and an activity, I guess, in my life that through, you know, you know, especially over the course of the last couple of years, that it has, you know, really allowed me to have that sort of guiding force and be able to make some other changes and shifts in my life that needed to happen. So, you know, it's great to be able to have that opportunity to have that mental space as well. And I think that's, again, just getting outside and, you know, breathing fresh air and that kind of thing, gives you that opportunity. And it's also that focus, right? I mean, if you have a goal race that is in your mind, you know, the training that you need to get there is something that you can really sort of focus on in a positive way, I guess.
Yeah, and if nothing else, in our busy lives with kids and work and activities and all of that, if you go for a 45-minute or a one-hour run, or you're doing a longer run on the weekend, it is time to think, right? It's so rare in our lives these days that are so taken up with activities and smartphones and iPads and all of that. It is just time to think to yourself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It definitely is. And it's, you know, yeah, exactly, that you have that sort of opportunity to sort through things a little bit more, you know, free of devices and that kind of thing, and be able to kind of, yeah, exactly.
All right.
Sit in your mindset, but not, you know, but still be free, I guess, that's sort of what it gives you, yes.
And do you have any big goals for this year?
You know what? I'm looking at probably doing the Chile Half Marathon, and hopefully, you know, Ottawa and Toronto are two races that I really enjoy as spring races. So hopefully a marathon at one of those for sure. So.
All right. Well, good luck, Annalie, and it's great to have you on the show. Great to have you on the iRun team as well. Thank you very much for joining us, and good luck this year.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's been a pleasure.
That's Annalie Boschetto of the iRun team. Coming up on next week's edition of iRun Radio, we'll be joined by elite runner Krista Duchesne, who will be running the Boston Marathon for the first time in 13 years. She has a great story to tell about how different her life is now compared to then. Hope you can join us next week. Have a great week.